following is a production of Snake Tree Media. This is Urgent Frequency, the Sonic sit rep for Urgent Fury, the hottest tactical gaming community on the World Wide Web. And now, here's your host, Commander Claymore Fury.
Booyah, Frequency Freaks! I am Commander Claymore Fury. I am live, loud, and proud, and on location right here at GameStop, April 19th. It is about, we got T-minus 1 hour and looks like about 27 minutes before the official launch of SOCOM 4 U.S. Navy SEALs and, of course, Mortal Kombat. It's kind of like a dual release party, midnight launch here at GameStop. They've got a Mortal Kombat tournament. They've already got it set up. They're underway. They're doing that right now. It's a 4-on-4 tournament. Really cool. The only thing that would make it cooler is if Raiden was actually here. And well, I don't know. I guess he's really busy, or he doesn't have a good publicist. One of the two. But anyway, we're just hanging out. It's really cold here for some reason. I'm not really sure why it's so cold. But we're going to fight the cold. We're going to fight the slight drizzle that we have coming down. Because we want to enjoy all of this, man. It's a live, on-location, Urgent Frequency. I love doing this, too. I hope this is fun for you guys. And wherever you're at, we're going to try to get some people to call in tonight. I don't know if we figured out the technical side of that, but we're going to try to have some folks call in tonight. What else do we got going on? Oh, we got not one, but we've got two champion spotlights tonight as part of this very, very special podcast. Of course, we're going to sit down and have a talk with Boogs from the Urgent Fury in-country champions, Shadow Ops. He's going to come by, hang out with us, and talk to us for a second. I actually got to interview him before I came out here tonight, so this is going to be loads of fun. What else we got going on? Oh, Hog Wild, 101st Screaming Eagles. They won Urgent Fury Blowout, the very first Urgent Fury Blowout Champions. So Hog Wild from 101 is going to come by, hang out with us, and of course talk about that. GameStop's giving you two games to come out and buy and celebrate, and we're all celebrating the dual launch of those two games. So you know what? We're gonna give you twice as much. We're gonna give you more bang for your buck, twice the fun for the price of one, ladies and gentlemen. It's radio lingo. Anyway, we got plenty of stuff going on. Don't go no place. This is a very special live on location Urgent Frequency. We are live on location celebrating the launch of SOCOM 4 U.S. Navy SEALs and the midnight launch of Mortal Kombat. Finish him. Come on back.
This is Hogwild from 101st.
This is Bugs from Shadow Ops, and you're listening to Urgent Frequency.
Only on UrgentFury.com.
I am Commander Claymore Fury for UrgentFury.com. The brave men and women in our nation's armed forces made a commitment to protect us and our freedoms. Many will come home with missing limbs, severe burns, or traumatic brain injuries. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support these injured heroes through programs and services that help make their recoveries that much easier. Regardless of your position on the war, our wounded veterans deserve our support. To learn more, call 1-877-TEAM-WWP. That's 1-877-832-6997. Or visit WoundedWarriorProject.org. Hoo-yah!
Next time on Urgent Frequency Television, Mortal Kombat launches with its colossal cast of mystical martial artists and furious fatalities. Be sure to
get over here
for the complete story. Then we'll travel back in time to investigate Rockstar's forthcoming period piece, L.A. Noire. And you don't want to miss the next installment of NoobTube and Bullet Points. It's all next time on Urgent Frequency Television, exclusively on PlayStation Home. Be sure to visit www.urgentfury.com for more information about Urgent Fury or Urgent Frequency Television. Urgent Fury, win with honor, lose with dignity.
Spoof ad flashback. Flashback.
Do you ever feel like you're lagging behind the rest of the group? Do you get the strange suspicion that you're in everyone's crosshairs at work? When out with friends, do you feel like no one around you can hear a word you're saying? If you do, don't despair. You may be suffering from late-term undergrowth syndrome. Late-term undergrowth, or LTU, affects nearly 32 people every year, and that number is growing every month or so. Fortunately, there's a cure just around the corner in the form of ARIS. With ARIS, your feelings of isolation, depression, and paranoia can be suppressed so that life, your life, can get back on target. ARIS stabilizes critical control points in the brain that trigger these negative emotions and diffuses them within 4 seconds. Stop living in the darkness and uncertainty of late-term undergrowth and come to the light that is ARIS. With ARIS, life finally comes back into focus. Side effects of ARIS may include vomiting, nausea, light sensitivity, irritable bowels, athlete's foot, chronic migraines, bestiality, loss of hair, reduced sex drive, asthma, acute flatulence, dry mouth, birth defects, possible confusion of the sexual preference, bleeding eyes, and an overwhelming desire to fire automatic assault weapons. If you're currently taking an antidepressant, see your doctor before taking ARIS.
Commander Fury.
He wants me to call him Big Boy, and he's my bucking bronco, and I'm supposed to ride him hard and put him back in the barn wet.
Commander Fury.
Oh yeah, fellow babies, I am Commander Claymore Fury. I am live, loud, and proud on location right here at GameStop. Man, we're having a great time. Bunch of people out here. We're smack dab in the middle of the Mortal Kombat 4-on-4 tournament that GameStop has going on right now. It's a dual celebration, a dual midnight launch party, ladies and gentlemen. SOCOM 4 U.S. Navy SEALs, and of course, as I mentioned, Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat looks fantastic. Of course, we got our first glimpse of Mortal Kombat at E3 last year, and I just knew it was going to be phenomenal. It is phenomenal if you haven't picked up the game, but by the time you hear this, you will probably have the game and would have played it several times, but it looks fantastic. You guys have got to come pick this game up. Of course, everybody is standing in line waiting on SOCOM 4 U.S. Navy SEALs and or Mortal Kombat. Now, of course, the crowd's pretty big. It's pretty nice. It's as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of cold out here. It's not quite as big, though, I have to say, as the Call of Duty crowds. Now, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 had a huge launch. Call of Duty Black Ops or COD Blops came back and topped even that launch. There were so many people. Speaking of Call of Duty Black Ops, Urgent Fury just wrapped up its big TAC map tournament for Call of Duty Black Ops. Urgent Fury in Country is the name of that tournament. It was our first TAC map tournament for Call of Duty Black Ops. In that tournament, we did experience some controversy. Some clans ended up leaving. It left the field short. And ultimately, we were faced with basically two options. Either scrapping the tournament altogether, which that's what a lot of people thought would happen. But if not for just a couple of clans standing up for Urgent Fury and standing up for the hard work that all these clans had already put into the tournament, they basically decided that they were going to finish it, and they did. We had a championship match between Shadow Ops and Enemy Lines, EL, and of course Shadow Ops went on to win the championship match and win the Urgent Fury in-country championship. So kudos to those guys. Booger, or Boogs, from Shadow Ops was kind enough to stop by. I talked to him before I even came out to the midnight launch party here. So here's that interview. I hope you guys enjoy. It's about 20 minutes hanging out with Boogs from the Urgent Fury in-country champions, Shadow Ops.
Amidst a ton of controversy that left the battlefield virtually empty, it was up to Enemy Lines and Urgent Fury veteran Shadow Ops to pick up the pieces and carry on in order to crown a champion for Urgent Fury in country for Call of Duty Black Ops. My guest tonight is here to discuss the championship that almost wasn't and to discuss the dynamics that make up a championship clan. Joining me via Skype from suburban Illinois, representing Urgent Fury's most recent TAC map champion, Shadow Ops, is SHO's Boogs, or Boogs.
Booger. Welcome, sir, to Urgent Frequency. You're definitely the first person and maybe the last person to be named Booger on Urgent Frequency. I also understand that you are a bitter Cubs fan, and I think we both established that there's only one kind of Cubs fan, and that's a bitter Cubs fan.
Yeah, it's hard to support a loser.
Jeez. I think they're losing right now, as a matter of fact. I know they dropped a heartbreaker yesterday against the Rockies. We are recording this, by the way, on Monday night. We're all getting ready for the SOCOM 4 thing. But anyway, sir, we're not here to talk about Cubs baseball. We're here to talk about Shadow Ops pulling off the big, huge win and Urgent Fury in country. As I alluded to, there was a little bit of controversy, and it was up to you guys. You could have just thrown your hands up and said, oh, well, kudos to Shadow Ops and EL and everybody else who stuck with it. And of course, congratulations. You want to talk about any of that? Was that just craziness, or is it just growing pains? It's going to happen. How do you feel about all that?
I was pretty disappointed. I'm a veteran Urgent Fury person. I was a co-leader of Easy Company. We were the runners up to Tactical Op units in Urgent Fury 2. And when Tao and Sniper, they developed Urgent Fury, it was always about just the competition, and it to me, I always got the feeling that recently it's starting to turn into winning and not so much the competition. At the time, SOCOM 2, we were trying to get away from the game battles type matches that you'd get stuck in at 10:30 at night, and Urgent Fury was a great place to come, and you know you would get good competitors, mature. And with this whole fallout during this tournament, I know personally I was bummed, because I don't want to win a tournament just because half the clans quit. But in our clan, we discussed that if we started it, we wanted to finish it. So, you know, that's how we went about it.
I know it must be hard. It's kind of like I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I equated it to winning, coming in third in the Daytona 500. But winning the race because somebody left a lug bolt off the one and two car, and I know that's not exactly the same thing, but kudos to you guys for saying, hey, like you said, you know, you started this thing, let's finish it. You know, that's always been the thing in Urgent Fury is we want people to, you hit it right on the head. It's not necessarily about winning. It's about winning the way you play the game and the way you get together with like-minded people. And everybody's got respect for each other. And that's, to me, that's what, I just kind of watched this whole thing unfold. And I've said this a couple of times, but I watched this whole thing unfold, and it didn't seem like Urgent Fury at all. It seemed like something else, like you said, that you'd see somewhere else at one of those other places. And it was disappointing, but, and I keep saying this, I was so happy to hear that you guys were going to carry on, and we did end up having a championship match, and from what I understand, it was a great match.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There was some great competition during it, and, you know, my hat's off to EL. Those guys definitely showed a lot of heart, especially in the second day. They were down big time, and you can just tell they weren't going to quit, and they just kept coming at us. So my hat's definitely off to them.
Okay, we'll talk more about the actual championship and everything that led up to it. But let's talk, just like you said, now Shadow Ops, you guys have been around in Urgent Fury for a long time, and I would imagine that a lot of the members have been around in Urgent Fury, even if you haven't been in Shadow Ops. But let's talk a little bit about the history of Shadow Ops, if you can. And first, let's talk about you. How did you end up in Urgent Fury?
Well, me personally, it was about 7 years ago, I think 2005 or 2004. I don't. Do you remember when Urgent Fury 2 was?
It was such a long time ago.
Yeah, and that was me. I was another clan, and that clan disbanded. And a couple years ago, I came over to show. I knew Rage through a gentleman named Toasted from Easy Company, and they were they did some projects together in the real world. They worked together, and I know Sho's been around for almost 10 years now, and so that's where I decided to come. It's always been a competitive clan, but they also, it's really community-based, where it's always about friendship and being a good comrade to each other. And that's why Urgent Fury is so appealing to Sho, because it's about mature competition.
Something that I can't remember who I was talking to about this the other day. It might have been Glenn Percival with PS Nation, but we were talking about how the dynamic of clans has changed over the last 3 or 4 years. It used to, and you hit it right on the head. To me, I'm a member of the I don't even know if they have a gamer advisory panel anymore, but I used to be a member of GAP. And, of course, you could put up your own blogs and stuff like that. And one of the first blogs I ever did was, I talked about how SOCOM was more than a game. It was like a social experiment, because it was like taking all these people from different races and different jobs and different social economic backgrounds and all this stuff, and you're putting them together, and they have to come together. And if you wanted to, at one time, if you wanted to be successful as a clan, and I think that still stands, but if you wanted to be successful as a clan, you had to come together, and you couldn't focus on your differences. You had to focus on the things that you all had in common. And that's one thing that, how do you think the dynamic of a clan has changed? To me, because especially with Call of Duty, their matchmaking system is such that it's kind of like you just push a couple of buttons and boom, you're in. Now, I remember back in the day, I used to love just sitting around with my buddies, even in the dead room. That was some of the best times of the night, was when you're hanging out with your buds in the dead room and everything. Do you think that's changed, and maybe that's why we've seen such a change in the dynamics of clans these days?
Oh, definitely. Everything's so fast-paced, action now. And like you, not so much just the dead room, but I remember the other clans, we always had our home servers in SOCOM too, and if your guys weren't on, you knew where the other clans were, what server to go into and look for their rooms. So, and even that part of the social aspect of it is gone. You couldn't, you know, it'd be impossible to find another Urgent Fury clan just randomly on Call of Duty. And then also when you had your own roommate and there was 8 of you or more from the clan, and you're just hanging out and talking about life and getting to know each other. That's changed completely now. It's a whole totally different type of attitude with the online gaming experience.
Do you think it changes? And I'm sure it does. I don't know if you have anything to do with the recruiting for Shadow Ops, but it seems like that even the recruiting process for most clans, and I haven't been in a clan or I haven't led a clan in a few years now, but I've noticed that it seems like that clans are what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say... they're just more lenient. It seems like that people kind of slip through the cracks, whereas used to, you'd have to put in like a 2 or 3 week tryout. You'd have to really show people that, you know, you want to show up and be part of the quote-unquote family. Now, just again, because of the dynamic of the games, it seems like that you find out too late that somebody's not really invested in the clan.
Well, Rage, our clan leader, Rage, He doesn't really allow that. There's still a long wait period. You're looking at about a month to become a full-blown clan member, because we really want to see the staying power, online activity, and then forum presence. Those things, we think that's what makes the community stronger. I think that's the things that were fundamentals in SOCOM 2, and we kind of carried them with the clan, and that's just the way we're going to recruit, and it's all, I don't think that'll ever change with us.
I guess let's get into the business of things here, man. We're here to talk about your championship run. Let's talk about the tournament. How'd the tournament go for you guys? Did you feel confident? Even going in before all the nonsense started, did you feel like you had a good shot at the championship?
To be honest, you know, I told, we had some some would say Urgent Fury rookies that have never really played in this sort of environment. And I tried to explain to them the competition they were about to get themselves into. And I'm actually surprised, because even at the beginning, before everything happened, I think we had some streak where we had 13 or 14 matches won, which I thought was impressive. And I was quite proud of our guys for doing that. It showed that the work and the commitment that they put into the tournament, and really, you know, a hitting thing, you know, taking a head on, and listening to the experienced guys and really learning from us. And I have to say, I didn't expect to see us do so well in the beginning. And then, like every clan, you go through that rough patch, and we got a couple of losses. And it's great to see how they come through that, you know, if they're just going to quit or if they're going to play even harder and commit themselves even more. And I really saw that with some of our guys. And I was impressed with, especially with the rookies.
hear that all the time, you know, that you can tell a lot about a team by how they react to a loss or to a rough game. That's good to hear. Early on, did you kind of see who the heavy hitters were? And if so, who were they, if you don't care to elaborate on that?
I was definitely, you know, Uprising has been, you know, you see all their titles and you know they're strong. And then there was Violent Revolution. Those VR boys, they can definitely play the game well. The clan I definitely wanted to stay away from. You'd have to help me with the name. It's Aelsept. Is that how you pronounce it?
Aelsept. You are correct, Aelsept.
And I definitely, they were, wanted to stay away from them. And then the clan I wanted to play the most was Letting Punk Snow, because I thought those were the guys that we were on the level, you know, we were level with, but maybe had a slight advantage over. And those were the guys I wanted our rookies to play against, because I know that they could make, you know, a couple mistakes and we wouldn't necessarily lose the match from it. Those were definitely the guys I looked forward to playing the most. And I look forward to actually all the matches. But.
Let's talk about the championship match, though. Of course, when we kind of sorted through all the, and I keep calling it nonsense, I'm sure it was really important to some people, but like I said, this definitely had the potential to ruin the whole tournament, and then you guys ended up just, like I said, getting together, putting on a great show. Again, I wish I could have been there. We actually even talked about trying to spectate the whole thing, but let's talk about the match itself. Talk about how it started. What strategies were you guys thinking about? And I can't even remember what the maps were right off the top of my head, but let's talk about the actual championship match.
Well, the first day that they both were the team death match, and I was actually, I wasn't present for those. From what I understand, talking to the other guys, it started off slow pace, where we're kind of a sit back and feel thing out type plan. And then it picked up, and I believe we had pretty strong leads going into the end of the first two matches. I don't remember the names of the first two matches. And then the second day was Domination on WMD. I played that one. You know, man, I can't remember the leader of Enemy Lines. He came, we were all joking around the show guys, and he came in and we were so embarrassed because our mics are supposed to be mute, and he just cuts the tension. He's like, let's just have a good time. And I knew it was gonna be a good match after that everyone was kind of laid back, and we were letting the drama not come into that match, and we were just gonna play the game. And the Domination, it was we really put the pressure on Enemy Lines on there. We tried going after all 3 points right off the bat, and we held them for a majority of the time. And that's when I said earlier that I really respected them, because we were up by a couple hundred points about two-thirds way through the match, and they still kept coming at us and still kept trying to capture points. And, you know, they gained a lot of respect out of me for that.
Domination is a tough game mode anyway, especially to just totally win the match outright. It's definitely one of those that keeps you biting your nails. And let's talk about your clan's heavy hitters. Who were some of the guys who really stood out and made you go, wow, you know, especially you mentioned the rookies a couple of times. Who were some of the rookies that you were really proud of and really happy with their performance?
The one we call him Remy, the first part of his name is Remington, and he really stepped up, did a great job. Thinking of rookies here, Diablo, he was one of our newer leaders. He stepped up. He tried his best. You could see that he wanted to be committed and he wanted to help. He just kind of needed that guidance on how to apply what his motivation to helping the clan. A gentleman by the name Zeal, he did great. He knew when to listen and follow directions, but he played the game so often that he always had good points of view if we were missing something. Those rookies definitely, they really stepped it up, and you know, a lot of our winning in the beginning there had to do with those guys. Some of our veterans, Silent did an excellent job. I think he played almost every match except for when he was on spring break during college. My two right-hand guys were Lindy and Carnage. They were pretty much the primary in-game leaders. They did fantastic, and they kept the guys organized and went over strategies and really took their own personal time out to keep the goal in mind of winning and really commit to it.
I'm always fascinated. You mentioned strategies. I'm always fascinated by how clans prepare and things like that. Some clans, they go, we just show up and play the game. Other clans, they do have regimented practices and workouts and exercises and things like that. What do you guys do when you're prepping for especially a championship, a TAC map championship like this? Is it business as usual, or do you guys have a special, were you guys on every night practicing, working up strategies, or was it just basic, this is what we have to do to win, let's do it?
Well, before the tournament started, we actually went through and labeled all the maps, certain areas, and this is, you knew how committed we were going to be when I was seeing 15, 16 guys show up for 30 minutes and literally follow the leader. Everybody walked around and just, okay, this part's going to be called door A. This part's going to be door B. So then I was like, okay, so we're going to really have to get the strategies written out. Lindy and I took the maps and wrote out directions and drew on the maps. And this was the general idea. And then before every match we went in, we call it pre-war. And we do a quick walkthrough. We set the starting roster. We put people in the position that we think they're going to excel at. And then towards the end of the tournament, you put all that work in the beginning. And it's nice because as people get burned out, every person that's been in the clan for a long time could tell you, towards the end of the tournament, you can start to see guys get a little tired. It's nice when you put all the work in at the beginning like that, because like the championship came up, strategies were already set, guys already knew what to do, and you just had to put them in the position because they knew all the positions and they were ready to go.
I can't remember who said it, but somebody once said that greatness is when preparation and opportunity meet. I'm a firm believer in having your ducks in order, sir. But listen, man, congratulations on the big win. What's with SOCOM 4 launching, of course, within a couple of hours of this conversation? Do you guys have any big plans for SOCOM 4? Are you going to stick with Call of Duty? Are you going to try to? Because I know that the whole SOCOM Call of Duty thing created a lot of rifts throughout the clandom at one time. Do you guys look to split your ops up, so to speak?
We're going to see what the level of interest in SOCOM, because I want to be amped up for it, but the last one didn't come out that great, my personal opinion. So we're going to see how that goes. I don't think Call of Duty is going to have much of a lasting power. I don't think Black Ops was like how Modern Warfare 2 was. So we're in a little bit of limbo here, and I'm interested to see those recruits that we got from Call of Duty, if they're going to pick up SOCOM. So I guess we're going to see in the next couple of weeks how everything pans out.
It might all be redundant, because my prediction is that the entire planet's going to be playing Battlefield 3 before it's all said and done. So it may not even matter. But anyway, sir, thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight. Why don't you tell everybody, if they want to check you guys out, if there's some players without a clan out there and they'd like to get involved in a championship clan, how can they get in touch with Shadow Ops?
You can come to our website, www.shadowops.org.
Okay, so get on over there if you're looking for a clan, or if you're a clan that's looking for some good folks to hang out with. How you feel about the future of Urgent Fury, or at least Shadow Ops and Urgent Fury?
I would like to see Shadow Ops stick with Urgent Fury and ride it out, because it's a great idea. Build it and they will come. I think we will get other clans and they'll show up, and the level of competition, and then you also, it's nice that you have so many different people and all these different clans, and most of the time we all get along. I love to see the tournaments keep coming out. It's always a place where I've been in it, where an old clan disbanded and, I had nowhere to go, and, find my way to Urgent Fury forums. You find out what's going on in the online gaming world and maybe find a clan that you want to join. So Urgent Fury, I think, was great for our community. It's not just the SOCOM community, but just online gaming community in general. And I hope it still thrives and grows from this, just hopefully just a bump in the road.
All right. Thank you very much. Listen, man, I'm going to let you get back to your life because, like I said, we've all got our shoes in our hands getting ready to run out to our local GameStops to pick up SOCOM 4 or Mortal Kombat. If you're one of those guys, go ahead and pick up Mortal Kombat. It launches as well tonight at midnight. But Bugs, Booger, sir, thank you. Congratulations to Shadow Ops on your TAC Map Championship and many more in the future. And thank you for your support of Urgent Fury.
There are times when you have so much to say, just so little time.
Excuse me, what?
Good thing there's Twitter. We got you covered with the latest and the most talked about topics, 140 characters at a time. Follow us on Twitter.
Urgent. Frequency. Frequency.
Welcome back. I'm Commander Claymore Fury, live, loud, and proud, on location. Man, I love doing these on location things, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you have a lot of fun with it. We're here at GameStop. We probably got about, I'm not really sure how long. Can we get a time check? I don't know. We're going to try to get a time check and see how far we are away from midnight and, of course, the launch of SOCOM 4 U.S. Navy SEALs and Mortal Kombat. Everybody, there's so much buzz here. It's crazy. Of course, they just completed the 4-on-4 Mortal Kombat tournament, mini tournament they had going on here. And I just want to thank, of course, every time I get to do one of these things, I come out and I get to hang out here at GameStop and my local GameStop. I got to thank Brandon. I got to thank the whole gang. They're always just so nice to me and always so accommodating. They take real good care of me, and they think Urgent Fury is a cool thing, and they totally support us. So I really appreciate all of their kindness and hospitality, especially you, Brando. You're a humanitarian, sir. We've got, I told you, man, more bang for your buck here on this special live on location episode of Urgent Frequency. Of course, we already heard from Bugs from Shadow Ops. Great guy, great conversation. We got to address some things, talk about some things. Gave you a little insight, hopefully, into what it takes to be a championship clan. Speaking of championship clans and clans that have just been around for a long time, 101st Screaming Eagles, man, they walk away with the Urgent Fury Blowout Championship, defeating CKS, Urgent Fury Cold War Champions. So, man, we've had some great competition in the last couple of months here in Urgent Fury. Tip of the cap. Through all of the controversy, through all of the so-called drama and everything, we've really had some clans stand up and show what Urgent Fury is all about. So a tip of the cap to all those clans, including CKS, and of course, 101st Screaming Eagles, man. They, like I said, they won Urgent Fury Blowout, first tournament of its kind. It's very similar to Black in its structure, but we found that that's a format that clans seem to enjoy. They pulled off the victory over CKS and Hog Wild. My boy Hog Wild, I think we're going to take off on motorcycles later on this summer. At least that's the plan for right now. But until then, he came by and we talked a little bit about 101st Screaming Eagles' victory in the Urgent Fury Blowout Championship. And this is pretty much what it sounded like.
Welcome back to part two of this episode's Champion Spotlight. My next guest is here representing a veteran clan here in Urgent Fury, a clan that proves that excellence is not necessarily measured by wins and or losses. Joining me via Skype, representing Urgent Fury's very first Urgent Fury Blowout Champions for SOCOM U.S. Navy SEALs, the 101st Screaming Eagles, it's my pleasure to welcome 101's Hog Wild to Urgent Frequency. Dude, you've got the coolest, if I remember, you've got the coolest SIG I've ever seen in the history of Urgent Fury.
I think so, too. I like it very much. the clan's tried to change it on me a couple of times, but I have denied them.
Oh, I don't blame you, because it's easily one of the best-looking SIGs. I used to want to steal that SIG. I swear I did. So congratulations not only on the Blood Championship, but congratulations on your SIG as well. First of all, well, I got to ask this question. How's Bandit treating you? Is he all right?
Bandit, he's the man. He's my counterbalance. He keeps me in check.
Wow. See, he comes off as a little, I don't know, curmudgeonly to me. Is he curmudgeonly to you guys? Is he grumpy? Is he grouchy? Or is that just the way Bandit comes off?
No, Bandit just keeps me sane, so we get along fine.
Right. Well, Bandit's a good guy, and I got nothing but love for him. Dude, congratulations. Blowout, we wanted to do something different that was different than Black, different than some of the other tournaments that we got going on, and the gang got together and came up with this idea for Blowout. It looks like it might be a very successful, it's not a TAC map tournament, but it's a sub-tournament that we got going on. Just one of the many tournament events we got planned for the next year. So it looks like we're going to do another one. But congratulations on the big win. Of course, you guys defeated CKS. Let's start at the beginning. Let's talk about... Now, 101 is a veteran clan in Urgent Fury. Let's talk about how you guys found yourselves in Urgent Fury. And let's talk about your experience in Urgent Fury so far.
Well, I referred to Urgent Fury right after the initial tech map. And I'm pretty sure we started in the second tech map. It was 9 months long. It was a battle the whole way. We had a good finish, and the whole clan just really enjoyed the UF environment. You know, clean play, self-governance. You know, we solve our own problems.
I think that's important. A lot of people, there's a thin line you have to draw, because clearly you don't want the inmates running the asylum. But I do think that that is something that's always made us a little unique compared to some of the other tournament venues out there.
Absolutely. You know, when things were slow at UF, and UF being our primary arena of competition, we have tried other places, you know, just nothing to do. So we go join another tournament. And, you know, it's a lot different when you don't have self-representation like you do have in UF, like we all do.
In the intro there, I said that 101 proves that excellence is not measured necessarily by wins and losses. How do you feel about that?
Well, I agree 110%. Respect means a lot. You know, our clan has a lot of respect, you know, with our opponents. We really do strive to treat ourselves with class, and always seem to run into clans that do the same thing. The drama is not there that you run into with other sites, because I think UF gets it. You know, there's a group of people who want to play in a cheat-free environment where competing is more important than a scoreboard. You know, competing fairly.
I mean, you want to win. And anybody that says, oh, you know, winning's not important, I think you're lying. Even in pro sports and stuff like that, I think winning is important. But at the end of the day, I could go into the whole Barry Bonds conversation, but I won't. But with somebody, I like to watch Dan Patrick. I don't know if you care that much about Dan Patrick, but he, you know, his question in all of it, he wasn't concerned with records and he wasn't concerned with anything else. He was concerned, what he said was it worth it? To Barry Bonds, his legacy, when he has to wake up and look in the mirror, at the end of the day, I mean, everybody wants to win, but it's the way you win, and it's winning with honor and losing with dignity. And sometimes it's hard to do both of those things. I mean, sometimes the pressure to win is so much so that you're willing to maybe, like the old saying in baseball, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But I don't subscribe to that, obviously, and I don't think anybody in Urgent Fury does. And I agree with you. I think that respect and your honor and those things, they carry a whole lot more weight than your wins and losses.
You know, I'm constantly talking to my clan about not what the other clans are doing, but what we are doing. You know, yeah, I like wins more than losses, and I admit it and don't deny it. But if we give our best effort, if we put a great effort into a match and we come away losers, I can be satisfied, and so can our clan. You know, it's just when we don't work as a team, when we don't do the things that we know that work, that's when we kind of beat ourselves up. And we think that everybody in UF is a challenge. Everybody is coming to play, and we got to do the same thing to be competitive.
I had the opportunity to talk with Boogs from Shadow Ops. Of course, they won the big in-country TAC map tournament event, and I had a chance to talk with him. And of course, I asked him a little bit about that tournament. unfortunately had some controversy and that kind of thing. And since I'm talking to you, since it's Champion Spotlight, I should give you at least a short soapbox, if you will. Do you have any thoughts about that? Is there anything you want to talk about? Is there anything you want to address for the rest of the community?
We were not in country, and my congratulations to show. Well done. You know, ruling didn't go a certain way. You know, I wish I had a nickel for every time a ruling didn't go 101st way because, you know, I'd be rich. But it's the whole environment. It's, you know, just because one thing doesn't go your way, it happens. It's going to happen. It's happened to us in the past, and I'm sure it's going to happen to us in the future. And all you can do is look inward, is what 101st does, you know, to make adjustments and to improve.
Well, because you can't just flip the checkerboard off the table if things don't go your way. And I'm glad we're at least talking about it, because it is something that you know, I hope that the community at large and anybody that's listening to this podcast, I hope you can understand that anytime you have people, there's always going to be that group of people that want to win no matter what. And again, you know, just like we just said, I think walking away with your head held high, knowing that you did, because you guys wouldn't kick somebody out of 101 for missing a clutch shot or not defusing a bomb or something like that. But now if they cheated, you would probably kick them out of 101. I mean, isn't that the way you guys would probably handle that?
Yeah, cheaters are not tolerated at all at 101st. No way, shape, or form. We've even denied recruitment to players that are too laggy by UF standards. Yeah, I mean, effort matters. I mean, if you do the best you can do, you put on a good effort, you know, you can walk away with your head high.
Anybody that watches professional sports, sometimes the rules go against you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Man, let's talk about the tournament itself. Now, like I said, blowout is a bit different. Let's talk about the tournament, man. Who are some of the heavy hitters? This is something I ask Boogs. Who are some of the heavy hitters in blowout?
During the season, I mean, we went undefeated, and it was not as easy as it looked. We had three ties. We had to come from behind a couple of times. We had some claims out there that made us feel it, in particular AES and CKS. CKS tied us twice. AES tied us once. And our first match out the gate, AES, they made us work for it. It was not as easy as it looked.
It never is. And let's talk about the championship match. You guys in CKS, of course, CKS, Cold War champions. You knew you had your work cut out. So let's talk about the championship match. How did that go down? And talk about some of the specifics, if you can.
Well, CKS, we know to be a tough opponent. I even told my clan that in week four or week five, CKS got off to a slow start. But all of a sudden, man, they just started hitting it. And I told my clan, I'm like, CKS is waking up. Here they come. And I felt that the championship was going to go right through CKS's back door. That's right. What I thought. And it turned out to be true. We get into the championship match, and we got up on CKS. We got the round count going our way. And you know, because of the way the tournament was set up, round counts matter. It kind of put CKS behind the eight ball, and they had to press and probably be more aggressive than they wanted to be. And, you know, we took it into the third map, and we only had to win one round to finish them off. And looks like CKS woke up again. They came at us, both barrels blazing. They rolled us. They mowed over us like we were grass the first couple of rounds, and even had us outnumbered in the third round of the third map. And if it wasn't for the exceptional play of one player on our side that was able to kill six of them, you know, we might have gone into overtime.
Who was your MVP? Because I'm sure he got the game ball after that one.
Yes, he did. That was Gunman. He really – I was guarding the VIPs. It was Desert Glory Extraction. I was holding the VIPs, protecting them, and I was the other guy alive, and I just kept watching. Gunman kills this guy. Gunman kills that guy. I was like, go gunman.
That's a great feeling, too, to know that it's a bad feeling, because it always seems like when you just got to win one, it always seems that that one round is elusive. But that's a great feeling to be sitting there watching this happen, going, uh-oh, we might have this thing. So, of course, we all know how it turned out, but how did it turn out in game?
Well, it turned out that Gunman won that round, and, you know, that kind of ended the championship. But, you know, CKS in those two rounds on Desert Glory just really showed us, you know, what they were about. You know, they got it together. And they whipped it on. We made a few adjustments on our side, and it didn't matter. You know, they were still just rolling us. You know, it's not something I didn't expect.
And I do want to take this time to, I guess, apologize to CKS, because you know what? When they won the Cold War Championship, we didn't get a chance to have a champion spotlight and get them on the podcast and everything. So I do want to take this time to verbalize and say, CKS, congratulations. We're going to have you guys on at some point. It's really just a scheduling thing. And I was fortunate enough to get you guys on this week. I told you before the interview, you know, we've just been nuts with the release of SOCOM 4, and then, of course, we've got Mortal Kombat and the live events and stuff like that. So the scheduling thing was really nuts, but I was glad to get you guys on. But I did want to say that to CKS. What about those guys, man? Are they a class act or what?
Well, everybody we played in this tournament was a class act. You know, we beat AES in the semifinal match. It went to a final death. I just don't think I can say enough good things about everybody that participated in this tournament. CBF had a rough time of it, but they stuck in, and I respect them for it. I just can't say enough good things.
A lot of great competition here in Urgent Fury. I mean, people can say what they want to, and they can complain all they want to, to this, and I do. I am all over the web every single day, interacting with clans, interacting with developers, interacting with people that have something to do with tactical gaming, and Urgent Fury, in my opinion, and maybe I'm a little biased, but Urgent Fury, in my opinion, we do have clearly some of the best clans in all of clandom here in our community. But let's talk about the future, man. SOCOM 4, of course, everybody's kind of nuts about that. You and I even got to hang out and play some co-op today, which I got to say, man, was loads of fun. What's in the future for 101 in terms of SOCOM 4?
Well, I don't want to get too far into what we're doing inside the clan. The first thing is to learn the maps. You know, I played for a couple hours after I got done with you. it was rough. There's a lot of things in these maps. There's a lot of different ways to play it. It's going to be a challenge.
I'm sorry I'm laughing, but I was thinking about when you first came in today, and I should tell this story, because it was me, a buddy of mine, Snuggy B. I got to say hi to Snuggy B. It's the real Snuggy B. Who else was in there with us? It was you and
Two Minute Man,
and of course we go in guns blazing like three desperados, and we're all murdered like within 30 seconds, and we're all laying in this room, and there's 15 people with shotguns and heavy armor, and you're like, where are you guys at? We're like, over here, and we're trying to tell them where we're at to come in and heal us, but at the same time we're telling them not to come in the room because all the people are in there. I gotta say, that was like and this is something I told my wife. I said, you know what, I did something today that I haven't done in a long time, and she said, what's that? And I said, I had fun playing SOCOM. and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I really did, man. I had a great time today. So well, look, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you guys, and same thing, you know, I told the guys with Shadow Ops, there's tons of players out there looking for high quality classy clans who who operate at a standard that is unlike the average everyday Klan. So if there's somebody out there and they're looking for a good Klan, how can they get in touch with 101?
101ST, ScreamingEagles.com. And we're always looking for players who are willing to invest in something bigger than themselves.
Oh, I like that, sir. I really do. I mean, because, you know, that's the way I think everybody should live their lives, man. We're all investing in something bigger than ourselves. Get on over and see our friends at 101. Are you guys, I don't know, man. Maybe Commander Fury could get a tryout or something.
Well, the way you die too quickly, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, Hogwild, sir, thank you very much for coming by and spending time with us. Congratulations on the Urgent Fury Blowout Championship, and continued success, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, gang, hoo-yah. Commander Claymore Fury, I hope you enjoyed that, man. Hogwild, loads of fun. The story that I told about the co-op thing, that was just great. I mean, I still laugh about that to myself when I think about it. Anyway, we're live, loud and proud, on location right here at GameStop, celebrating the launch of SOCOM 4 U.S. Navy SEALs and Mortal Kombat. I've had a great time tonight. Again, many thanks to everybody here at GameStop for being so kind to me. Many thanks to all these gamers, man. You wouldn't believe some of the hardcore gamers that are here. And just a fantastic time had by all. And, you know, I want to remind everybody that Episode 4 of Urgent Frequency Television, exclusively on PlayStation Home. It launches, I think, this week or next week. But we're really excited about that because we are actually doing a feature on Mortal Kombat. We're also going to try to do a feature on L.A. Noire and some other stuff. So you guys, man, just please keep supporting us over there on Urgent Frequency Television on PlayStation Home. It means a lot to us. The community theater, Theater 10. Get on over, check it out. And of course, I'm not sure if it's enabled yet, but of course, you can get your own Urgent Fury athletic shirt for your avatar on PlayStation Home if you go over and check out one of the episodes. So please do that. Of course, I hope the PlayStation Network's up by the time you hear this. And if not, then I guess we'll continue playing single player and enjoying our games that way. Anyway, it's time for me to go, man. Special thanks again to GameStop. Special thanks to Shadow Ops. Special thanks to Hunter First, Screaming Eagles. Special hoo-yah to CKS. Everybody out there, man. Everybody who stood their ground and stood up tall for Urgent Fury during our recent growing pains. Hoo-yah to you. We really appreciate it. It does mean a whole lot to us. We got some news about E3 coming up in the coming weeks, so keep your ears peeled for that. And just remember, Urgent Frequency is produced by Urgent Fury Holdings, and right here in the studio by the lovely Allison Armstrong. She's staying up late to help me with this one tonight, so thank you very much for that. What else we got? Please don't forget to network with us via Twitter on the official Urgent Fury blog, Urgent Fury Unleashed, and of course on Facebook. You guys get over there and friend us and like us or poke us, whatever you do on Facebook there. It'll mean a lot to us. Anyway, see you on the battlefield, folks. It's time for me to go. You know the drill. Keep your feet wet and your powder dry. Live on location. Hoo-yah!